on 666 Breakfast. So why does this music, or more importantly, the shower scene music from Psycho, resonate so strongly with us? Why does it make such an impact on us? Why does it always scare the bejingos out of us whenever we hear it? Dan Blumstein is an evolutionary biologist at the University of California, and he's been studying this. I think Dan might be an ex-Aussie, or he might have lived here for a while. Good day to you, Dan.
Good day. Thanks for having me on.
See, as soon as you said good day, I knew, yep, he's been in Australia.
Not an ex-Aussie, but, you know, an ex-Aussie wannabe.
Yeah, you're good. Yeah, you spent a bit of time down under, Dan?
We did. We lived in Sydney for 3 years and studied wallabies and kangaroos and birds, and it was really good.
Did you study the Major Mitchell parrot by any chance?
I didn't. I was wondering about who that was named by.
Yeah, well, there you go. Now you know the answer. Good to talk to you this morning, Dan, because I found this topic really interesting, because as soon as I started reading, I thought, yeah, you know, there's some of this stuff like the jarring music out of Psycho, or I think the other thing that the example was given was Jimi Hendrix's version of the US National Anthem resonates with people. Why did you decide to go down this path to look at this, first of all?
I spend an inordinate amount of time listening to marmots and studying marmots. Marmots are big ground squirrels that live around the northern hemisphere.
Oh, right.
So we celebrate Groundhog Day up north, and that Groundhog Day, groundhogs are one of the species of marmots. But when I study marmots, I discovered that sometimes when you capture a baby marmot, about within 10 days after it emerges from its natal burrow where it was born in the ground, sometimes they scream. And these screams are really jarring to me. And these screams are very compelling and attractive to other marmots. And everyone in the meadow looks towards these screams. And then I started listening to other screams. So Darwin, you know, wrote a lot about a lot of things. But Darwin, nowhere in Darwin's writings was anything about marmots. Darwin did not know marmots. But Darwin knew screams. And screams, Darwin said, were calls for aid from parents that young animals give.
Mm-hmm.
But if you listen to lots of different species, not just babies scream, but older animals scream too. Why are they so annoying? Why are we, you know, why do we pay attention to our kids' screams?
Mm-hmm.
So I started thinking about this, and it turns out these screams are very common and characterized by these things called nonlinearities. So if you turn up your stereo too much right now, at some point that your stereo is going to get louder, louder, louder. It's going to sound great. You're going to hear my voice. It's louder. And then at some point it's going to start cracking. And, you know, it'll get distorted. And that distortion means you've overblown your stereo, basically.
Yep.
Same thing happens if you blow a trumpet. Same thing happens if a marmot puts air through its voice too fast.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing happens if your baby puts air through its, you know, larynx too fast.
Yep.
And birds as well. So these are very common things, and they're sort of indicative of sort of an overblown system. So I was giving a popular talk, and I was saying, you know, I bet this works for movie soundtracks and music. And a guy came up to me after and said, you know, I'm a film score composer, and I think you're right. I'm studying this also, and I think you're right. And I think while most people go and study abstract things about, you know, major and minor chords and how emotion is conveyed in those, I think there's a biological basis to this. So we did a study. This is Peter Kay, my colleague. We did a study where we looked at film soundtracks, and we found that things like Psycho, you know, have more noise in these really compelling scenes, and sad dramatic scenes and sad dramatic films like The Green Mile, you know, these nonlinearities are suppressed. There's not noise in them. Okay, so that's correlative. A colleague of mine at UCLA, Greg Bryant, studies humans, and I said, and he's a musician, and he studies how emotions are communicated, and I said, Greg, let's work together and scare some people.
Yeah, good. Thank you, Alfred Hitchcock. So are you saying then that even though it might have been subconsciously, that by deliberately using that distorted music in Psycho, especially in the shower scene, that it was going to make a much greater impact than if you had used some nice, clean, you know, undistorted music?
Yeah, and I think that all of these, you know, film score composers and musicians are, I would describe it as chapping into my, you know, their inner marmot, but you know, there's in many cases you can convey emotions by tapping into sort of evolutionarily tried and tested algorithms.
So is that why?
And noise is one of those.
Yeah. So is that why, Dan, when Jimi Hendrix got his guitar out and did his version of the Star Spangled Banner, that it resonated with so many people.
You know, it particularly resonated with young people. Old people said, turn that crap down.
Yes.
But, you know, so, and young people like to take risks, right? Young animals take more risks than old animals. Young people take more risks than old people. Look at accidents associated with youth versus, you know, older people. Mm. So here's something that, you know, really is evocative, and it's evocative because it's associated with a risky thing. Maybe it's kind of like riding a roller coaster. Mm.
So it wasn't the sound so much. It wasn't that the Hendrix version appealed to them. It was more that here was something that older generations are fearful of or turning their nose up, so we will embrace it.
Don't know. Possibly.
Yeah.
I certainly like the Hendrix version.
I do too.
You know, I think it's at the time it was a great piece, and it has lasting you know, power. It's good.
Yeah. Is it the same for everyone though, Dan? I would imagine for some people they find this sort of stuff, and as you've just mentioned, you know, people said turn this crap down. Some people might have completely the opposite reaction, might they?
I don't know. I think what we're trying to do with our research is ask, can we find biological continuity in how certain sounds are perceived by people with, you know, other species? And I think that we're finding that nonlinearities, noise, is something that seems to have some of that biological continuity.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people have lots of preferences. Some people like loud music, some people don't.
Yeah, exactly. And you'll never get two people in the one room who agree on anything when it comes to music. I've found that out over the years. Good to talk to you this morning, Dan. All the best, and good luck with your ongoing studies.
Thanks a lot.
By the way, with your studies, which animal has the most fearsome scream?
Tasmanian devils have a pretty good scream.
Yes, they do, don't they? They most certainly do.
Particularly when you're sleeping.
Yeah, yes. And possums, too, I'm beginning to realize can be...
Oh, yeah, possums.
Maybe it's just because of the time of the morning, but they're horrible.
Possums will wake you up.
They will. Good to talk to you, Dan.
Take care, thanks.
All the best. Bye-bye. Dan Blumstein, who is an evolutionary biologist at UCLA.